Lord, as we sing about your love today, here is love vast as the ocean. May we not only sing about that in our lives, but as we engage with your word, may we live that out every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you were to ask me what is my motivation or what is my vision for the church or for ministry and so on, I would say that one of my big philosophies of ministry is that the church should not just exist for those who are within these walls, in a sense, but the church should be outward looking, reaching out and serving the communities in which it finds itself. Being outward looking, though, is only half of the equation. An outward looking and outward focused church must be inwardly strong. If we are to convey a message beyond ourselves, then it must be one in which we all buy into. Without an inner strength and a unity, we won't be able to support what we do in reaching out to others. So as we grow in our outward strength, we also need to grow in our inward strength. If you want, they're like two muscles that work together. You need to strengthen them both to be a healthy church. So what does it take for us to be inwardly strong? Well, across the New Testament, there are 59 passages that are known as the one another passages. There are verses that describe how those being part of a church community are to treat each other. Let me give you some examples. Be devoted to one another. Accept one another. Live in harmony with one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Pray for one another. And so today we're going to begin a new sermon series where we're going to cover some of these one another commands. And today we're going to look at the granddaddy or the grandmammy of them all. It is the one that is repeated most through these 59 one another commands. I wonder, did you notice it in our reading today? It's the command where Jesus says we are to love one another. 9 times throughout those 59 one another passages, we hear the command to love one another. It's echoed by 3 different authors in the New Testament. It is found in 4 different books in the New Testament. It is one of the principles on which all the other one another principles are built. It's the foundational principle, love one another. And when we love one another, we accept one another, we live in harmony with one another, we encourage one another, we serve for one another, we pray for one another. But the foundation is love. Loving one another is also the only one another statement that comes directly from the mouth of Jesus. In our passage, John 13, our reading from today, a new commandment I give you that you love one another. Jesus calls loving God and loving each other the greatest of all the commands that God sets before us. The great Christian theologian of the last century, a theologian called Francis Schaeffer, said that the world has to right to judge Christianity by the way that we treat each other as Christians. He writes, "Our relationship with each other is the criteria that the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful or not." In other words, do we as the people of God walk the walk and talk the talk? Schaeffer believed that love is the ultimate confirmation for Christianity. Love is the proof of our faith. It is the evidence of what we believe. And this is why Jesus says later on in that passage, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples." How we treat each other. And yet it sounds so easy, doesn't it? It trips so nicely off the tongue. But when it comes to loving, because we are fallible human beings, real life gets in the way. A father had just finished concreting the front driveway. If you've ever done that, it's such a lovely and satisfying job to see that concrete beautifully set out. The concrete was still fresh and it was wet. So he fenced it off with sticks and tape, and then he found his young son. Can you see where the story is going to go? And he said to his young son, "Now, son, you are not to run over the new driveway. You have to stay off the new driveway." And of course, his young son responded, "Yeah, Dad, I won't do that." Well, you know what happened. A few minutes later, the boy goes running into the house, splat, 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 right across the new concreted driveway. Well, the dad, as you can imagine, was furious with his son. He was yelling at the boy and he was threatening him with all kinds of punishment. And then his mum came out, and in an understanding tone, she reminded her husband that he loved his son. And here is the kicker in terms of the story. The dad said, "I love him in the abstract, but I don't love him in the concrete. I love him in the abstract, but I don't love him in the concrete." And that kind of is like all of us. We love everyone in the abstract. It's easy in our heads to say that we agree with the command that Jesus says that we are to love one another. But in reality, in concrete, we have a hard time loving specific people. We all agree with the command to love in principle. We sing about it, we read about it, we talk about it, we teach and we preach about it. But let's be honest, because we are fallible human beings, we have a hard time loving one another in practice. We love in the abstract, but we struggle to love in the concrete. So to help, and I suspect to challenge us, I want to take a closer look very quickly at what Jesus says in today's reading from John chapter 13. As always, can I encourage you to open the Pew Bible or to follow along on the weekly sheet as I pick out a few very quick things. Well, the first thing that we've already heard is that Jesus says at the beginning or halfway through the passage, "A new command I give you, that you love one another." Now, the strange thing I find about that command and that statement is that Jesus seems to be calling love a new command. How can love and the command to love be new? After all, if we go right back to Leviticus, just a little bit into the Old Testament, we hear that God commands that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So isn't it a bit strange that Jesus, in this passage, is saying that we should, as a new command, love one another? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not even going to try and bluff that I am a Greek scholar. But having read some of the commentaries and having looked this up, the Greek scholars tell me that apparently in the original language, Jesus uses a word that in our culture means new in form or quality, different in nature, something fresh and unique. You know, when you buy something in the shop or when you buy a product and it says across the product, "new and improved." Well, that's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in this instant. It's not that it is new in the sense of never been before, but it is a love that is new and improved. And as we tease it out, hopefully we will understand a little better by what Jesus means. His command was new as improved as to the quality and the nature of the love. He was talking about a new kind of love. And the love he was commanding us had a new measure. It was to be like his love for us. "As I have loved you, so you must also love too." The love Jesus is talking about is a self-sacrificing love. It's a selfless love. It is a forgiving love. For him, in the most concrete of ways, it meant death on the cross for us to show his love, to show all of these things to us. And it is this kind of love that we are to show to one another, a self-sacrificing love, a selfless love, a forgiving love. And what Jesus is communicating is that this new and improved love is based not on a worldly standard of love, but it is based on a higher standard of love, God's love. It's not based primarily on a feeling, but it's a choice. It's a decision to treat someone in a gracious and generous manner. The love Jesus commands is not how I feel about you, which is often a worldly kind of expression of love. But the love that Jesus is talking about is the kind of love that says, how will I treat you? It's not based on what you can do for me, but it's a love that is based on what I can do for you. And I should also point out that Jesus worded his grammar in a very specific way. When he says love one another, it means keep on loving one another again and again and again. It is to be a continuous, ongoing love between the people of God. Our love for each other isn't a one-time act or just an occasional thing. It's not a momentary gesture, but it's a constant and a continuous endeavor to love. And when we practice selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love within, it becomes a natural habit. It becomes what sports people might talk about, muscle memory. We don't have to think about it. It becomes an attractive thing. And Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When we love within, it is something that is noticed far beyond outwardly. It is this new kind of love that shows the power of God. It is this new kind of new and improved love that draws people to God, because it is seen in real ways between those who are called to represent God. So in closing, I ask, in word, deed, and action, what is it that defines us as a church, as a group of parishes? We could be defined by our mission to seek and save the lost, certainly. We could be defined by our worship. We could be defined by our church organizations and structure. But for me, and from this passage, it is made clear, the one thing that should define us more than anything else, above everything else that we do, is that we should be loving people. Jesus said, love one another. And so the question I leave with us, as I will with all the churches today, is this question. Do we as a church community love one another in the abstract? Or do we love one another in the concrete, in the everyday ways, through our words and our deeds and our actions? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is challenging. It is challenging because it speaks into fallible lives. It speaks into ordinary lives. And yet it is clear that as a church community, we are to love one another and base all that we do on that command. So help us, not only in the abstract, in the big idea, help us to land that in very real ways, in our lives as a church, and in our lives, and in the lives of those that we meet every day, to show sacrificial, serving, real love. And I pray this in the one who loved us, who showed us the example, in the one who says, follow my command. In the name of Jesus, amen.